Our guest today is pianist Danny Green. Danny, welcome to the show.
Great to be on here, Randy. Thanks so much for having me.
What are some of your earliest musical memories, Danny?
One of my earliest musical memories is a recital that I played that was across the street from my house. And there were a bunch of kids playing there. And at first, when it was my turn to play, I was a little shy. But then I started playing, and I wouldn't stop playing. And I finished one song, went on to the next, and just kept going and going. And my dad had to pull me off of the piano, and I kept playing with my right hand as I was being pulled off.
So when did you first discover the piano, Danny?
Well, I started taking piano lessons when I was 5 years old and continued lessons until I was about 12, and those were mainly classical. We'd do some musical numbers, but pretty much the classical study. But I can't say I fell in love with it then. It was after I quit that I started playing music for the enjoyment of playing music. And at that point, I was only into Nirvana and nothing else. And so I learned how to play all of their music on piano. And little by little, I started getting into some other styles. I think next came ska for me. And I listened to a lot of ska bands and learned all their music on piano. And eventually got into the Buena Vista Social Club and started learning their music, started getting into Afro-Cuban music, and it all went from there.
Do you remember your first concert as a professional?
I don't remember my first concert as a professional musician, but I do remember the first steady gig that I had, which was at a restaurant called the Calypso Cafe. And that was with a conga player by the name of Alex Galucho. And we'd have a bass player named Sly. And that was a super fun time. We would play a lot of Latin music and some originals. And that was also the first opportunity for me to start arranging music. But as far as first concert, I just have this memory of some of those gigs like at Calypso. And also at the time I was going to school at UCSD, and so they'd have undergraduate performance recitals from time to time where you could play a piece or two. So those were some of the first concerts I remember really putting some fun music together for. And then some of the other earlier concerts were at a jazz club in San Diego called Dizzy's. And the owner, Chuck Perrin, was nice enough to give me a place to perform some of my music at that point when I was still figuring it all out.
Who are some of the people that influenced you early on in your career?
Well, like I said, at first my number one influence was Nirvana, but luckily that faded away and I moved on to other things. Even though I still do enjoy listening to it from time to time. The Buena Vista Social Club was definitely one of the first influences on me when I started getting into playing more jazz and Latin jazz. And hearing Ruben Gonzalez play totally shocked me at first, and I'd never heard the piano played like that. Then I went to some gig. I don't even remember where it was or who it was, but I talked to the drummer and he told me to check out Chucho Valdez and Ira Quere. And that was another, just kind of hit me. And I got super into that music for a long time. And just like everything else in the past, I wanted to learn how to play it. So I'd listen to the recordings and transcribe whatever I could and try to absorb the language. Sometime around that time, I also started getting into Brazilian music, and it all started with Jobim. But I also was listening to a lot of Caetano Veloso at the time, Gal Costa, and who else? Just a bunch of the MPB players from Brazil. But it wasn't until much later that I started getting into more of the Brazilian jazz that I like today. And as far as the jazz early influences on me, I started out listening to Duke Ellington and Count Basie, and took a while before I came back into listening to jazz. I was so into Latin jazz and Afro-Cuban music and Brazilian music. So it wasn't until many years later that I started digging in and getting into pianists like Bill Evans and Chick Corea, Brad Meldow, and lots of others.
When it comes to composing music, does it take you a long time to write your compositions, and do you enjoy doing it?
Composing can take a long time for me sometimes, and other times it's a very quick process. It usually starts out with one idea that I just fall onto from noodling around on the piano, and if I like it, I'll just go with it. I'll play it back a few times and try to write it down as quickly as I can. And then I'll replay it and see what comes next. And might be a matter of starting from the beginning 5 times, might be 20 times. Or sometimes I just kind of come up with more of a full composition in a few tries. But it really changes from piece to piece. Sometimes it's so quick, and sometimes it's quick to the point where I forget what I did. And so lately I've been recording myself and using that to help me remember what I just played. But other times it can take months. I do have a lot of different influences that I bring into my compositions. The three main genres that I would say influence me are jazz, classical music, and Brazilian music. But more lately, I've been trying to take a more personal approach to it. Before, especially with my album With You in Mind, I was really seeking out to write in a specific style. So as I started learning styles such as samba or baião, I would seek out to write a piece in that style. And that was really good for helping me learn more about playing in those styles. But on this latest album, A Thousand Ways Home, there's definitely some pieces that have borrowed elements but did it in my own way. For instance, the title track, A Thousand Ways Home, it's not really, I don't know what to call the groove. It's in 6-4, and at some points it has elements of samba or baião. Harmonically, it's got lots of, I don't know, I guess modern jazz elements as well as some blues elements in it. So I'm really trying to work with all these different influences and make them work for me in a unique way. Now, as far as bringing the classical influence goes, I'm not writing so much classical music, but I listen to a lot. I love Mahler, I love Wagner, listen or play a lot of Chopin, Rachmaninoff, Ravel, Debussy, and hopefully somehow just by being involved with that music, it's having some sort of influence on the way I write. And there's definitely some pieces that it's more apparent than others on the new album, Over Too Soon. I was definitely thinking a lot of Mahler as I composed it. And Dusty Road, I was thinking a lot about Chopin. I was actually working on Chopin's Fantasy Impromptu. And then I just started improvising a little bit, and that's how I fell upon the main theme for Dusty Road. So that's, in a nutshell, some of my different influences and how they've affected my composing.
Now, when it comes to the piano, do you have a specific brand that you enjoy playing?
I'm not the most particular pianist when it comes to playing on a specific brand. I like a number of different pianos. Probably my favorite would be Steinway, and I've played some incredible Steinways on the album. I'm on a Hamburg Steinway Grand, and there's a venue in town called the Athenaeum, and they have also an incredible Steinway. I love just the soft sound it has, and you can get just a lot of different types of tones depending on how you play it. I've recorded on a Bösendorfer, and that's also an amazing piano. I've played some Yamahas that I like a lot and others that I didn't like as much. But pretty much as long as the piano's in tune and has a very nice response, then I'm happy. And it's amazing how different the effect on me is of playing on a really nice piano versus an average piano. It just feels so easy to make good music on a nice piano, and on not so good piano, I might be having a harder time playing with clarity or pulling off some of the faster lines, and I might not be as inspired to try out some dissonances that would sing really nicely on a great piano.
Let's talk a little about your musical education. What are some of the most important lessons that you learned while you were in school? And who are some of your favorite teachers?
Well, I went to UCSD for my undergraduate and had a great time over there. I got to study with a number of great musicians and got a very strong classical foundation as far as theory goes and exposure to the music. Before I started that department, I was pretty narrow-minded and I thought I hated classical music, but toward the third and fourth year, I really fell in love with it, and especially got into Brahms and Chopin and who else? And Rachmaninoff. Those were the three that I got into. I also started taking jazz lessons there. They didn't have the jazz department established yet while I was there as a major that I could do, but they did have a wonderful instructor named Kamel Kenyatta, who I'm still great friends with today, and got to study with him for about 3 years. Anthony Davis was teaching there and got to study with him a little bit, and they had some jazz improv ensembles, so it was a great place where I could start playing in a band and learning how to do that. And at first I was actually playing guitar in the group because I played everything by ear, and so it was a little easier to fake it on guitar. But I played piano for one song the first quarter, and then I think by the next time I took the class, I focused a lot more on piano. Although I took piano lessons when I was a kid, as I mentioned before, I quit when I was 12. And so by the time I got to UCSD, I totally forgot how to read or write. And so going back to UCSD and studying music there gave me all the tools to read music and write music, which was huge for me, probably the two most important things I got out of the program. Before that, I was doing everything by ear, so music was, it was kind of an intuitive thing for me, but I didn't know the names of the chords I was playing, and that really slowed me down from learning quickly. So after I finished UCSD, I took a number of years off. I graduated in 2004, and it wasn't until 2009 that I decided to go back to school. But in those years, I was studying with a professor from San Diego State University named Rick Helzer, and I learned a lot with him. as far as my jazz piano playing went, we worked on everything from harmony and scales, improvising, lots of repertoire, analyzing transcriptions, and just studying a lot of the greats. We studied some Monk, we studied Bill Evans, and some more of the modern players like Claire Fisher or Kenny Wheeler. So working with him gave me a lot more to add to my playing. And then I got to study with him some more when I went to do the graduate program. So that was from 2009 until 2011. And the main reason that I went to do the program was so that it would open up opportunities for me to do some teaching in a college environment. And I have done a little ever since graduating. I taught a year at a community college, actually two community colleges that year, and also did a program at a local high school, and also a jazz camp. So the master's program definitely helped me in that regard. But it was also good being back in the academic environment. I think just being there helped me get back into a routine of practicing a lot and just being constantly surrounded by music. So that was really good for me. And in addition to getting to work with Rick Helzer, there were also some other great people to work with. I met Eric Smigel, who taught the research class in music, and I also took a really interesting class on orchestral literature, which didn't really have anything to do with jazz studies, but it was still cool way to explore some more classical music.
Now, when it comes to musical settings, do you have a favorite setting that you enjoy playing in?
At this point, I'd say trio is my favorite musical setting. And by that, I mean piano, bass, and drums. Especially getting to work with Justin Grinnell and Julian Cantelm, who are on my album, as much as we do. It's just really fun having this three-way communication thing going, where there's a lot of interaction all the time. And at the same time, we've played together for long enough that we're very tight on our parts together, and we know where we're going to go a lot of the time. And not to mention, we're all good friends, so that always makes it enjoyable.
If there is one musician on the scene today that you would love to perform with, who would that be?
Well, there's a lot of great musicians out there that I would absolutely love to play with. And, of course, a lot of my favorite musicians are pianists. So unless it was a duo piano type thing, I probably wouldn't be playing with them. But I absolutely love Chico Pinheiro's music, and I've been lucky enough to have gotten to play with him a little bit and feature him on the album, which was great. And the drummer that he uses, Edu Ribeiro, is also somebody that I would love to play with. I've done a few songs with him here and there, but to actually get to do a full-on performance or a recording with him would be a great thing. I'd absolutely love it.
It seems as though you have a deep love affair going on with Brazil and its music. What is it that you find so appealing about the music and the country?
I love the music of Brazil. There's so much variety from there and so much soul in it. And it just always moves me, whether it's a beautiful piece or it's a real hard grooving piece. It just, for whatever reason, grabs me. I love the language. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. And can speak very, very little, can understand a little more than I can speak, but wish I could speak more. But just hearing that always makes me happy. And there's so many great artists. Some of my favorite, as I mentioned before, are Chico Pinheiro and Edu Ribeiro, who plays with him. I love Elis Regina. I love, who else? Ginga, another guitarist. And who else? Fabio Torres, pianist. Hamilton Giolanda, mandolinist. And then some of the singers like Javan and Caetano Veloso. And who else? The list just goes on and on. But no matter who I'm listening to from there, I always feel inspired and moved. And I love the way they mix elements of song with jazz so that, you know, you still have that beautiful harmonic element in it, and you have that very melodic lyrical element to it. And then, of course, all the grooves. And, you know, I love samba, partido alto, bayaos. And it's just fun finding different ways to incorporate those into a jazz setting.
What was your funniest experience on a gig?
Well, there was one gig that I did that was a harbor cruise. It was a corporate party for a harbor cruise around Christmas time. And they had a digital grand piano for me to play. So I got there and a little bit early and started checking out the instrument. And first thing I noticed was it was only playing one note at a time. So if I'd try to play a chord, you'd only get one note, which obviously doesn't work for playing piano. So kind of worked on that for a little bit and fixed it. And then the piano was out of tune. It was tuned half a step up. So if I played a C, I would hear a D flat. And I think for most people that wouldn't be an issue, but I have perfect pitch. And because of that, if I hear the wrong note, it completely throws me off. So I tried playing like that for a little bit, but the only way I was able to get through anything is if I was reading. If I was using my ear then to guide me, then I got totally lost, which was kind of fun. Anyways, so worked on that for a little bit, got it back in the right key. And then another problem was the sustain pedal. If you press it down once, everything would sustain. And until you pressed it again, then the notes would get cut off. So that was a little hard to work with. And then I made the mistake of pressing down the quiet pedal, which activated a bossa nova beat on the drums. So all sorts of crazy things were happening with this piano. We finally got it in somewhat of a okay condition. Oh yeah, another thing was that there was some salt on the keys, probably from the salt water nearby. I don't know. Anyways, I knew it would be a long night, and I wasn't really too excited about having to play for 3 hours, but went for it anyways, and the party started, the boat started going, and this drunk woman came and sat next to me and said, "I know how to play the piano," and she set her wine glass in the piano. And we hit a little wave, and of course the boat rocked a bit, wine spilled in the piano, and fried the thing. So it wouldn't play at all anymore. It was just dead. And the next half hour, the whole crew was trying to fix it with hair dryers, and I don't even remember what else. But that was it for me. I got to hang out for the rest of the time and have a nice old night on the boat.
What recordings have influenced you when it comes to any musical genre?
Over the years, there's been a number of different artists that I've gotten really into and spent a lot of time focusing on their music. As I mentioned earlier in the interview, Buena Vista Social Club was a very early influence, and probably a year or two I listened to their CD over and over and over again and played along to it all the time. And then after that, I went through a long phase of getting into Rachmaninoff, and I listened to the piano concertos a lot and even learned piano concertos number 2 and 3. And so that lasted another 2 years or a year. I don't remember. But some other musicians that I really got into, Wagner was one. I listened to all his operas and bought the vocal score so that I could play the piano parts, and got really into just his whole harmonic language and melodic language. I know a lot of people find his music very over intense, and I agree there's definitely moments in it, but I think if you take the drama together with the music, at least to me, it all works very well. It's very compelling. And so that's been an influence. Mahler's music, same thing. I got really into a number of his symphonies, including number 2, The Resurrection, number 8, Symphony for 1,000, and number 5, and number 1. So that's kind of more of the classical influences that I've gotten really into. And, you know, some of them don't necessarily affect me as a pianist. I think Rachmaninoff did, because it gave me all these new techniques to work with. But I think with Mahler and Wagner, it was more just a whole aesthetic. And I think melody and harmony are the two things that those two composers influenced me with. Moving on to jazz artists, I went through a long, long phase of being super into Brad Meldell's work, and still am, for sure. I got into the solo piano album he did called Elegiac Cycle, and transcribed all of the music of it, and just fell in love with that whole album. I think it's absolutely brilliant, and I also got into a lot of his other trio works. Other pianists that I've been really into are Fred Hirsch, Bill Evans, Chick Corea, Bud Powell, definitely. And with a lot of these pianists, I've done a lot of transcribing of their solos, and I've always found that a really good way to learn what they're doing more and just kind of understand the language, get it into my fingers. And it, you know, the purpose isn't to exactly copy them or play like any one of them, but I think each of these pianists has a lot of amazing experience to offer, and just kind of being able to absorb different ideas from all of them has helped me a lot as a pianist and as a composer.
I'd like to talk to you, Danny, about your father and the influence he had on you from a musical perspective.
My father played violin, and when I was a little kid, he would play in a string quartet, or maybe it was a piano. I think piano trio, piano violin. I don't even remember exactly, but I grew up hearing a lot of classical music with him playing. And I also remember every weekend he would listen to the classical station, and there was a program by Carl Haas. And I just have this memory of hearing the intro music, which was the second movement of Beethoven's Pathetik. But aside from just being surrounded by music as a result of my dad being into it, he always would sit and listen to me practice and help me out a little bit if I was having problems with practicing. And when I decided to quit lessons when I was 12, he went out with me and bought me a keyboard with the idea that maybe I'd get into playing around with different sounds, and that would hopefully keep me into music. And it absolutely did. For a while, I did a lot of just playing the drum patches on the keyboard and playing along to music with that. And my first gig ever, which was back in high school in a ska band, the drummer didn't show up, so I had to play drums on the keyboard for my first gig. Anyways, I was definitely very lucky to have supportive parents, both my father and mother, with me becoming a professional musician. In reality, it's not the easiest profession in terms of making money. And there's any number of other avenues that could have resulted in an easier living, but they recognized my passion for music and were supportive of me majoring in music at UCSD. And to this day, they still come out to most of the performances that I do, and I'm very lucky in that regard.
You know, one thing I absolutely love about jazz are the possibilities. They seem to be infinite. And at the same time, it seems like you're in this giant sandbox as a kid, and you're just playing with everything around you and creating on the spot and just coming up with new ideas. What are your feelings on this, Danny?
Well, I completely agree. And I think that's why I consider myself first and foremost a jazz musician, even though I'm into lots of other music like classical and Brazilian music. I think everything I do from a jazz perspective. And I absolutely love the opportunities jazz gives us to explore and create in the moment. For the last several years, I've been focusing a lot on my own compositions and just getting that stuff going with my group. But now that I just got my last album out, I'm starting to think about some other ideas. And so I'll be doing a Chick Corea tribute in February, and that'll be fun to get into his music. And I also have another thing coming up in March where I'm trying to start a series where my trio features a special guest for every performance. So for this first one in March, we're featuring Lori Bell, who's a fabulous flute player. And just by doing that, you know, we'll get to play some of her music, and it'll just give me a way to get into playing some other music. Of course, I also love any time I get to work with vocalists, which happens to be a lot, and also playing with just any sort of group that's doing jazz standards, just because those tunes are so timeless and they can go in so many directions. So it's a lot of fun just getting to do all these different avenues of jazz.
Now, when it comes to practicing, do you spend a lot of time at the piano, or do you just sort of, like some musicians do, they just create on the spot, and the actual playing in a performance is the practicing?
Lately, I haven't been getting to do as much practicing as I would like to, but I definitely went through a long period of time where, especially when I was in my earlier 20s, I used to stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning every night practicing, and I would pretty much practice off and on all day long. But, you know, life got busier for sure, and I got more things to take care of. I have a kid now who's 1 year old, and that's definitely stopped me from practicing as much as I used to, but definitely well worth it. Luckily, I have been doing a lot of performing lately, both concerts and just regular gigs, and that's been great for keeping my chops up. And I think the older I get, the more I'm able to absorb just by listening and thinking about music. And, I put a lot of years into working on the scales and everything, and I still try to do that whenever I get a chance to. But it's all there in my fingers now, and a lot of it is just kind of more of a mental thing, just thinking about how to be more musical all the time. And luckily, all these performing opportunities gives me time to practice it and just do what I want to do on the piano.
Now, aside from your busy schedule, do you ever have any opportunity to do any teaching?
I do a lot of teaching. I have right now about 10 private students, and most of them are working on jazz piano. So it's always a fun thing for me to work with them. I have some especially talented younger students, and just a whole variety of students. So that's some of the teaching I do. Last year, I did a lot of teaching in the community college, and also at a high school. And over the summer, I got to participate in a jazz workshop called the Anthology Jazz Institute, and that was for 14 and 15 year olds. That was a lot of fun, and we'll be doing that again this year. I'm also going to be teaching at the CSU Summer Arts Program, which will be out in Monterey, and I'll just be an accompanist over there. It's a workshop called Strictly Sax, so I'm looking forward to that, and always looking for other teaching opportunities. I think it's a great way to give back. I was super lucky to have wonderful instructors like Kamal Kenyatta, who I mentioned earlier, and Rick Helzer. And they were both super generous with sharing the jazz knowledge with me. And I always feel like teaching is the best way to pay it forward. And also, you know, as far as just being a jazz artist, you can't ask for a better audience than students who just want to learn what you're doing. It's really fun just sharing what I'm working on with them and trying to motivate them and get them to a place where they can create music that they enjoy and create something that's personal for them.
Let's talk about your new album, Danny, A Thousand Ways Home. How did you come about recording it? And tell us some other interesting information that you have about the process of recording this beautiful album.
Well, I'm really excited about my new album, and it came out in October, and it's been doing really well so far. A lot of airplay on the radio and lots of great reviews, so I'm very excited about that. The title of the album, A Thousand Ways Home, is taken from the track A Thousand Ways Home, which I began writing up in Napa while I was doing a gig with the drummer Julian Cantelm, who's on the CD. I sung the groove to him, which had been in my head for months, and had him play it, and I did a little improv and came up with what later became the main theme of the song. So I took that and brought it home back to San Diego. We recorded it on my phone, and came up with the rest of the tune at home. So in that sense, it was bringing the piece home. But in a much more greater sense, A Thousand Ways Home to me is about taking various genres and influences in music and bringing them home to me as a composer and pianist and incorporating them into a style that is my own. I recorded the album, a long time before we actually released it. I think it was February 2011 that we began recording it, and we did 3 days in the studio, and I had, you know, a few different special guests on the CD, so we had to coordinate with their schedules, and We did a few songs each day. For one of the tracks called Quintal da Soledad, we have Chico Pinheiro featured on there and Claudio Villela, and both of them live far away. And so for those tracks, I sent them, we had the trio record it, me, Julian, and Justin. And we sent the parts over first to Chico down in Brazil, and he laid down some beautiful guitar work. And then once that was complete, I sent it up to the Bay Area, all just on the internet. And Claudia Villela sung her parts, and also just amazing singing. And she really made that song come to life with the vocals. on there. But other than that, all the other tracks were recorded live. And some of the other special guests we have featured on there are Eva Scow, who plays mandolin, and she came down from Fresno to record with us. I had done a few concerts with her in the past. We did a little tour back in 2010 up the coast of California. And let's see, Peter Sprague is on there. He's a guitarist from San Diego, who's also an incredible musician. Same with Dusty Bruff, also a guitarist from San Diego. And then Tripp Sprague is on saxophone on the album, and he's featured on, I think, 4 or 5 tunes. And the rhythm section, as I've been mentioning, Julian Cantelm's on drums, and Justin Grinnell plays bass, and I just feel so fortunate to get to work with both of them on such a regular basis. As far as putting the album together, I did know that I wanted to do an album of all original music, which for the most part is what I did on the previous release with You in Mind. And these were just my favorite songs that I'd written since the release of With You in Mind. So there, I wouldn't say there's any sort of theme that goes from one song to the next, but in laying out the tunes, I did try to put it in an order that made some amount of sense in terms of varying tempos and having the harmony from the last song lead in nicely to the harmony of the next song.
What projects are you currently involved in?
Well, I'm doing a lot of performance with my trio lately, and you know, we're playing some of the music off of A Thousand Ways Home, and I also have some new compositions that we're working in, as well as I mentioned before, preparing for the Chick Corea tribute and for the concert with Lori Bell coming up in March. We also have our CD release party, which will be on the Jazz 88.3, which is San Diego's local jazz station, and it will be broadcast live, so even if you're not in San Diego, you can listen to it on their website, which is jazz88.org, and that will be on January 8th at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that's some of the stuff coming up. Lots of other fun shows coming up, and you know, I'm just enjoying playing, doing some freelancing too, playing with lots of other groups in town, and I'm hoping to take some of this stuff on the road soon. So we'll see what happens. I do have everything that's coming up posted on my website, so if you are interested in checking it out, the website is www.dannygreen.net, and you can check out some videos of us, you can check out recordings, reviews, all sorts of good stuff, and of course, the gig calendar.
Well, Danny, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for your insightful comments, and all the best in the future.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I'll look forward to the next time.